Well, before we jump in this morning, I want to let you know about something new that's starting this month, and then we'll kind of do some more of these things throughout the year. But we're calling it Discovery Night. And the whole point of Discovery Night this month is to help you discover what your part is in the body of Christ and within our community. And just know, like Ephesians chapter 4 says, as church leadership, our role and responsibility is to equip God's people to do the ministry that he has given them. And so we want to equip you to do the ministry that God has given you. Usually the questions that we get are, well, how do I do this? And what am I supposed to do? And I don't know what, and I don't know how. Yes, we get all that. So Discovery Night is to help you with that. We'll spend a little bit of time talking through what that looks like. We'll walk you through a spiritual gifts assessment. We'll have you at tables to talk through the gifts that God's given you and the opportunities he's given you and what that looks like to use your gifts, abilities, talents, and time for the kingdom of God within the church and in the community. So this is for your entire family. We'd love your kids to be part of that. It would be some great discussion. We'll feed you dinner. We'll spend right at about an hour, hour and a half together on a Sunday night. So if we can put it back up one more time, just so you see the time and date. If you wanna sign up, take your phone, tap and scan the QR code at your seat, sign up so we have enough food for everybody. But we just think this is a big deal and a big next step to equipping you to do the ministry that God is leading you to help you discover your part within the church and within the kingdom. So we'd love to have you there for that. That's coming up here in a few weeks. Well, if you're here when service started, Savannah mentioned this is the last Sunday before school starts for kids and teachers and all the things. Yes, it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? I grieve the pace of summer, but we also recognize we love the routines. I love having my kids at home, so that's fun. The rain decided to show up finally. That's exciting. It's great. We didn't know if it was yesterday, today. Apparently, it's right now. It's great. We're not in control of it, are we? Yep. So with school starting this week, we will do something this week that we have done every year. A lot of parents do this, isn't just us, but we do the back to school photos. Do you do these? You do the back to school pictures where you get your kids out on like the front porch and you take a picture on their first day of school. So my kids hate these. They're like, why do we have to do these? I tell them because I'm getting old and I wanna be able to remember what it was like each and every year. I don't wanna forget. And so do you wanna go back in time with me just for a little bit? Here's 4 years ago. I did get permission from my kids to show this. So first day of school back in 2022, 4 years ago, my oldest who was in fourth grade at that picture is now going into eighth grade. Collins and Cole, instead of kindergarten and second, they are now fourth grade and going into sixth grade into middle school. And so as I look at this, it's crazy because they have grown up so much. They have grown a ton over the last 4 years, even just the last year, they have grown up so much. Connor, my oldest, we had to take him to the shoe store because he needed shoes for school because his old ones are now too small. So we go and he tries on a pair of shoes, still too small. Then they bring out another pair of shoes. He tries one and they fit. They're size 11, y'all. I couldn't believe it. I don't even wear size 11. I'm like, what is happening? They are getting way too big, way too fast, but they are growing up. We can look at the picture and yeah, we see how much taller they're getting. We see that they're going into different grades. But when it comes to growing and growing up, Becky and I as parents, we really don't care that much, as much about their height or their academics and their grades and their abilities and athletics and any awards that they get. Like those are great, we celebrate them, whatever. But what we really care a whole lot more about is how they grow in their faith and grow in character. Those are much more important than any other aspects of them growing and growing up. We care deeply about them growing in their faith and growing in character. And so we're gonna spend the month of August as we kind of go into this new season and this new series, focusing on what it looks like to have God grow us and develop our character. Amen. God approves. So when we talk about character, here's how I want us to think about character for the rest of the series. Character is the consistent pattern of our thoughts, attitudes, actions, and motives. That's how we are gonna talk about character. It is consistent, it is this pattern, so that no matter what situation, no matter what environment, no matter what relationship, you walk into it and your character is consistent through your thoughts, attitudes, actions, and then motives. So when we talk about our character, that's what we're referring to. But as Christians, it's not just thoughts, attitudes, actions, and motives. As Christians, it's also who we are becoming more like, that we are reflecting the life of Jesus. So as Christians, we'll talk about character in this way. Godly character is who we are becoming as God forms us to become more like Jesus. So we can still talk about our actions, attitudes. We can still talk about our motives and the emotions, but we do so with looking to Jesus and asking, are we reflecting him? Are we becoming more like Jesus? Are our actions more like Jesus? Are our attitudes more like Jesus? Are our motivations and intentions more like Jesus? We are comparing ourselves to Jesus and seeing if we are becoming more and more like Jesus, because God is forming our character. God is shaping our character to become more and more like him. We know that from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Here's what Paul says in verse 18. So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. Now that first part, you can read this in context. He's using this idea of a veil. He's really talking about people that are saved by God's grace through Jesus Christ. So anybody that is saved, he's describing that person as the veil has been removed. So when we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus, look at what God does next. Look at the work that he does in us. The second part of verse 18. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. So we are saved by grace, by God's grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. What Jesus did on the cross, that is what saves us from our sins, and it gives us the hope of eternal life with him in heaven forever. But when we say yes to him, when we surrender our life to him and we receive salvation, God's Spirit moves in and does a work in us, changes us from the inside out. He begins to shape and mold and transform and form our character into the likeness of his son, Jesus. So as we talk about character, it's recognizing the consistent pattern, but it's also recognizing that God is wanting to form our character to become more like Jesus. Now, here's how we begin to discern our character. Let me put these questions up. If you're taking notes or you got your notes, these are already on your teaching notes. Each of these questions help reveal our character today. So what do I value most? That's about priorities. The things that we value, we prioritize, and that speaks to the character that is consistent in our lives. How do I respond when life gets hard? How do you handle difficult situations? How do you handle pressure and stress? Points to our character. What is guiding my decisions? How are you making choices? What is driving those decisions? What is the wisdom and the conviction on which you make decisions? How do I use my influence? That's leadership. How am I using my influence? Am I serving others? Am I serving myself? How am I leading and using influence? And then who am I becoming? Who am I being formed into? We are all becoming someone. Who am I becoming? These five questions help reveal our character and not just reveal our character and show how God is developing our character. So we can look at these and we can answer them like today. That helps reveal our character. We can also look back, like I look back at my kids 4 years ago and I see how much they have grown. We can ask these questions and look back and see how God has developed and shaped and formed our character. For example, how do I respond when life gets hard? You could ask that question now and then look back and be like, do I have more peace in difficult situations today than I did 2 or 3 years ago? Do I have more patience now with other people when I'm dealing with difficult situations? Do I have more patience today than I did a couple years ago? I still have a long way to go, but do I have more today than I did then? That is God developing your character. What is guiding my decisions? Am I more quick to go to God in prayer with my decision-making than I was a year or two ago? Before, I just used to make decisions whatever I thought in the moment. Now, I just have it in me where I naturally go to God in prayer first. You can see God developing your character. How do I use my influence? Do I serve more people in a more sincere way? Before, maybe I would serve, but you know, it was just kind of like I had to. Now, I have this desire and this sincerity in my heart to serve other people. Am I more like Jesus today than I used to be? Am I acting more like Jesus? Am I thinking more like Jesus? Am I speaking more like Jesus? Do my motives match up more like Jesus today than it did before? You see how we can use these? They reveal your character today, but we can also use them to see how God has developed our character over time and how he still wants to develop our character moving forward. So as we study Joshua, if you don't have your Bibles, we got Bibles out in the lobby. I'd encourage you to grab one, most certainly for this series, but then keep it beyond that. That's our gift to you. But if you have a Bible, go to Joshua chapter 1, because for the month of August, we're gonna focus in on Joshua. Not just Joshua and what he did, but we're gonna focus on Joshua's character and how God developed Joshua's character and how no matter what, no matter the situation that Joshua was in, we see this pattern of consistency of Joshua's character. We see a lot of godly characteristics in Joshua. He is not perfect, but we will see the godly character that God is developing in him. So Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 1, look for the characteristics and how God is developing his character. Chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, kind of an unfortunate way to be called, son of nobody practically. Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. You want to circle the word assistant. He was Moses' assistant. Then God said, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land that I am giving them. So we learn a little bit about Joshua, not much on his character yet, but we learn a little bit about who he was and the position that he held. Joshua, he was the what of Moses? He was the assistant. He was a servant of Moses. Now, this is a big leap to go from Moses' assistant all the way to now leading the people of God. God moves in and says, Moses is now gone. He's passed away. So Joshua, you're gonna go from being an assistant to being the leader of my people. That is a huge step. That is a massive leap from a servant or an assistant to the leader of an entire nation. Can you imagine the insecurity and the uncertainty that Joshua would have felt? I don't feel equipped for this. I don't even know where to begin. I don't know what to do with all of this. Could you imagine the fears? Could you imagine how he would feel ill-equipped and unqualified to say, I'm just an assistant. I'm just a servant. I don't know the first thing about leading an entire nation. But as we look at the character of Joshua, we also want to pay attention to the character of God, because God's character is also consistent. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so how God's character was evident in this story is the same character of God we still experience today. And what we know about the character of God throughout Scripture is that when it comes to raising people up and calling people out and inviting people in to the next step that he is leading, he is not just looking for rulers and kings and CEOs. He's looking for servants. He's looking for the assistant. When we get to Jesus, he's looking for the fisherman. What did even Jesus say? If you wanted to be the greatest, you must become the least. If you want to be a leader, you must know how to serve. And so here, as ill-equipped and as inadequate and unqualified as Joshua probably felt, God says, but that's who I want. And he raises Joshua up to go from an assistant and a servant to a leader of an entire nation. Now, for Joshua to have that long season of being a servant and an assistant, again, based on the character of God and how God works, I would say God used that to develop his character. Right? He spent a long time being Moses' assistant, learning to serve Moses before God ever raised him up and called him to be this leader. God used Joshua in a season of serving and as an assistant to get him ready and developed for when he would be called a leader. We know that God does that, that God can and will use every season of life to develop your character. Whatever season you're in, whatever position you find yourself in today, God is using that season to develop your character, to do something in you, to shape you, transform you from the inside out, to develop you into who he desires you to be. Paul talked about this, and it's actually a progression in Romans chapter 5, this progression, this development of our character that comes in every season. Romans chapter 5, verse 3, listen for the progression here. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance then develops, here it is, strength of character, right smack in the middle. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. So how do you go from suffering, difficulties, trials, and troubles all the way over to hope? How does all of that happen? What's that progression that Paul is talking about and we're actually gonna see in Joshua's life? There's a commentary that actually spoke on this. They said it better than I could ever dream of. So let me just read how they unpack this progression going from suffering, but then ending with hope. This battle-tested faith of endurance produces in Christians the quality of character. Christians of character choose to keep doing the right things on a consistent basis. The pattern is that suffering causes us to trust God on a deeper level. And the more we trust God, the more likely we are to consistently make right choices according to His word. We then become Christians of proven character. Character then produces a new quality in us, hope. Hope is confidence that God is faithful and will deliver what He promised. So therefore, no matter what comes along, we are fully convinced that our ultimate end will be sharing in the glories of God forever. So you start with the difficulties and the struggles and the suffering that causes us to rely on and trust in God. That's faith. And the more we have to rely on God, the more we have to trust in Him, the more our faith grows. And as our faith grows, He does a work in us and develops our character. He transforms us from the inside out, and our character becomes to match that of Jesus. And as our character is developed, we have a confident hope. A confident hope in the God who has done this work. A confident hope in the God who is faithful and has been faithful and will always be faithful. From suffering to hope, and character's right smack in the middle. As He grows and develops and forms our character, He is also developing our faith and also solidifying the hope that we have in Him. So for Joshua, when we go back to the story of Joshua here, yes, he is this assistant of Moses, but God sees so much more and desires to do so much more in him as he begins to develop the character of Joshua. Verse 3, here's a promise. God says, I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you for as long as you live. Here's the big promise. He sums it up in these next two sentences. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. So God gives Joshua the calling. You are going to go from assistant to leading these people. And then he gives Joshua the promise. And notice what God does promise and what he does not promise. He promises, he sums it all up in that last verse, I will always be with you and I will never fail you. That's the promise. God does not promise and it'll be a piece of cake and it'll be a walk in the park. He does not promise you will have no suffering, you will have no difficulties. He does not promise that there will not be losses or even failures. Joshua's gonna experience that. It is gonna be difficult. It is gonna be hard. He's gonna experience loss. He's gonna experience failure. He's gonna experience trials and difficulties and suffering. But God promised, I will be with you always, and I will not fail you. We still have those same promises. He continues to promise. Again, God's character does not change. And he continues to promise us those same two promises, that I will be with you and I will not fail you. He promises to always be for us and to continue to develop our character, to grow our faith and to develop our character. So God gave him the job. He gave him the calling, go and lead these people. He gave them the promise, I will be with you and I will not fail you. Now God starts to work on the heart. Now he works on the character. Technically, this next part isn't necessary. God already gave him the calling, go and lead these people. And he told him how it would happen, because I will be with you and I will take care of it. So Joshua has the calling and he has the promise of God. This next part is not necessary. However, it points to what God truly desires, a change of heart for us. God doesn't skip the character. He has the calling. Joshua has the calling and he has the promise. Now God leans into his heart and his character. Verse 6, God says, be strong and courageous. That's the character. No matter what you walk into, no matter what you face, no matter the uncertainties, be strong and courageous. Consistently have a pattern of strength and courage. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. He repeats it a second time. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate them from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything that you do. Study this book of instruction continually. If you're taking notes, you want to circle the word continually in your Bible. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. Verse 9, this is my command for a third time. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. And he focuses back on the promise again. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God wanted to deal with Joshua's heart. God cares more about your heart and your character than what you accomplish for him. It's not about the work Joshua's about to do. It was about the heart that God wanted to produce and develop and change within him. It's about the character. Yes, the growth of faith, but also the development of his character. Specifically here, that character of strength and courage, that no matter what he would walk into, he would have strength and he would have courage. Keep in mind though, Joshua is gaining this courage. He's having his character developed, not by him, but by God. God doesn't say, be strong and courageous because you got this, man. It isn't be strong and courageous because you are highly capable and able. It is be strong and courageous because of, God said, me. Each time God pointed to the strong and courageous, he kept pointing back to himself. Be strong and courageous because I promise that this is gonna happen. Be strong and courageous because I am gonna be with you. Be strong and courageous because I will never fail you. Joshua's able to grow in strength and courage of character, not because of himself, but because of God. It keeps pointing back to the promises and the character of God. Same for us. Our courage, when we talk about God developing and molding and shaping our hearts and our character to be that of strength and courage, it's not because of ourselves, and it's not because of our accomplishments, and it's definitely not because of our capabilities. Our courage comes from the power of God, the presence of God, and the promises of God. We keep pointing back to him. Why do I have courage? Because God is with me. Why do I have courage? Because God is sovereign and over all things. Why can I have courage? Because of the promises of God and he is good to his word. Our courage comes from the promises of God, the power of God, and the presence of God. He points back to that every single time, as do we. Then we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to have a character or a heart that is timid and weak and lacking courage. We don't need to be discouraged or afraid because he is with us. He is equipping us, he is calling us, and he is doing a work in us. The work he does on the inside is what gives us the courage to follow through with where he's calling us. Now, in context here, that strong and courageous character is being seen through the lens of leadership. It is be strong and courageous, not just in general. God says, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people. For Joshua, it's about leading. He's going from an assistant and a servant position to a leadership position. And we already said this, and the feeling of inadequacy, the feeling of unqualified, all of those things would have played in. But God says, be strong and courageous. You're the one to lead. No matter what, lead with courage. When we talk about leadership, everybody kind of has maybe a different working definition of it. Sometimes we think about leadership in terms of a personality, somebody that's charismatic or magnetic and people just naturally follow them. Sometimes we talk about leadership and it has to do with a position, where you are in the org chart. And if you are way up here in the org chart, then you must be a leader. Those can play into it, but that is not a great working definition of leadership. Leadership is influence. We use our influence to impact and lead the people around us. And by God, he has given every single one of us influence with people around us. Different environments, different people, different ways that you might use that influence, but leadership is not position, it's not personality, and it's not a job title. It is influence. And God gives us influence to use with the people around us. So when we lead, when we use our influence, may we do so with courage, no matter what. Leadership is scary. There's a lot of fears associated with leading. Well, I don't know how to do this, and I don't know what we will do, and I don't know how to make this decision, and what if they ask me this question? And it is filled with reasons to be afraid and discouraged. What does God say? Be strong and courageous. Lead with courage no matter what. No matter what you're facing, can you lead others with courage? Now, you might immediately be thinking like, no, I didn't sign up for this whole courage thing or this whole leader thing, and I definitely didn't sign up for the lead with courage thing. Well, let me just lean in a little bit and say, sorry about your luck, but you kind of are in it anyway. So parents, lead your children with courage. The friends that you have, be a friend, yes, but lead your friend group with courage as you lead them. Students, school's getting ready to start back, and so you're gonna be stepping onto a bus, you're gonna be stepping into a classroom, you're gonna be stepping back into your athletics and on a field. Lead your peers with courage. Lead your teammates with courage. You're gonna go to work this week. Lead your employees with courage. Lead your coworkers with courage. Lead up and lead your boss with courage. We have influence with the people around us. That is leadership. And out of all of those, from parenting to work and school and all the different environments, we are disciples of Jesus. And what do disciples do? We make disciples. We are people that lead other people to Jesus. So may we lead others to Jesus with courage. No matter the situation, no matter how insecure we might be, no matter how unqualified and ill-equipped we may feel, can we lead with courage as we lead other people to Jesus? Now, as Christians, we lead very differently than the rest of the world. What makes us as Christians great leaders is actually we're better followers. Because even the word disciple, disciples make disciples, disciples lead other people to Jesus, yes. But a disciple also follows Jesus. So before we lead other people to Jesus, we first follow him wholeheartedly, and that takes courage. Because the way of Jesus is very different than the ways of this world. So following Jesus is going to require courage. No matter what, courageously follow God's word. Not only did God tell Joshua to be strong and courageous in how you lead, did you catch the whole part about God's word? He said, be careful to obey all the instructions that Moses gave you. Don't deviate from the right or to the left, like stay true to God's word. Study his word continually. Meditate on his word day and night so you know what to do. It's through God's word. God develops our character in a lot of different ways. He does that through the situations that we walk through. He does it through other people. A lot of ways God develops our character. One of the primary ways he develops your character and my character is through his word. As we dig into his word, as we study his word, as we know his word, as we meditate and think on his word day and night, he does something in us and begins to mold and shape and transform our character. But we have to be in God's word, and that takes courage. If we go to Psalms, very beginning of the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, verses 1 through 3 paints a very similar picture of this character that's being developed. The word character is not used, but you're gonna see some similar language from what we just read out of Joshua chapter 1. Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with the sinners or join in with the mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, his word, meditating on it day and night. And then here's the image of what this looks like. They, that type of a person that delights in God's word, that meditates on his word day and night. Verse 3, that kind of a person is like a tree planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. That sounds like what a character formation looks like, doesn't it? What do we say about character? That is this consistent pattern of thoughts, attitudes, actions, and motives that no matter what, that character remains true. Well, the picture we get in Psalms 1 verse 3 is that these people that are deep into God's word, studying God's word, meditating on God's word, that something changes within them, and they're like people with deep, they're like these trees with deep roots. And no matter the storms that come through, no matter the seasons that come through, no matter the weather that comes through, they remain strong and fruitful. It's because that character has been developed from the inside out as they have dug into their word, dug into God's word. Here, the psalmist uses two words I want to highlight. The first one is delight. Those who delight in God's word. This isn't an obligation. Obligation, delighting, not the same thing. To delight in God's word is to want to be in his word, to love his word, to enjoy being in his word. And then the second part is to meditate. Meditating is not emptying yourself. It is filling your heart and mind with God's words. Less of me and more of him. To know him, to know his character, and to allow him to do a work in me where he develops and changes my character from the inside out. So for Joshua, he was given the calling, go and lead these people. He was given the promise, God will be with you, God will never fail you. But then God worked on his heart and began to develop his character. He painted a picture for the heart and the character that God wanted Joshua to have. A character that was strong, character that was courageous, that he would lead with courage no matter what, that he would still follow God's word with courage no matter what. Even when the ways of the world are so different and are in conflict with the ways of God and his word, but to follow God's word with courage, to allow his heart to match the heart of God, strength and courage. Here's the last part. Verse 10, so what does Joshua do with this? He has his calling, he has the promise of God, and he has a picture of this character, this heart that God wants to develop. Verse 10, Joshua then commanded the officers of Israel, go through the camp and tell people to get ready and get their provisions ready. For in 3 days you will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. He did it. He didn't keep talking about it. He didn't think about it. He did it. Even if he felt unqualified, he stepped out in faith. Even if he felt ill-equipped, he followed God's leading. Even though he didn't have all the answers, all of the what-ifs and the what-abouts, even some of the fears and insecurities, all the uncertainties, he stepped out and led with courage. And again, not based on his own abilities. Notice even how he ended it here. The Lord your God. He didn't, as the leader, go to Israel and say, hey guys, Moses is dead, I'm the next guy, here we go. He said, no, it is the Lord your God that is leading you. It is the Lord your God that is giving you this land. So yes, follow me as we follow the Lord our God. He led with courage, but God had to develop that within him first. I wanna go back to verse 2 though, end with where we began. Verse 2 is pretty significant. Verse 2, God said, Moses, my servant, is dead. In other words, that season is over. That season for Joshua is now changing. And maybe it's just me and my own life stage with the age of our kids and things, but August always feels like a new season, for me at least. Feels like, man, summer was great and we're like over halfway through the year, but it feels like we're stepping into a new season. For Joshua, this was a very new season. So this season is over. And then God says, therefore, so moving forward, the time has come for you to lead. That season is over. This next season, it's time for you to lead. And it got me wondering, I wonder what this would sound like if God said this to me. If God said, Brian, that season is over. Therefore, now it's time for you to lead. I wonder what God would say. For Joshua, is very specific around leading these people. What would it be for you? The time has come for you too. And what do you think God might put in there? How might God fill in that blank? This season is over. Therefore, The time has now come for you to. What is he calling you to? What is he asking you to step into? What is he calling you up to do? Most of us probably have an idea of what that might be like. We know it because it's what we're most afraid of. We're most worried. Maybe you've said something like, God, ask me anything, but whatever you do, don't ask me to do that. That's probably the thing. Therefore, the time has come for you too. How would you fill in the blank? And you're probably saying, no, but God, you don't understand. Like, I'm just the assistant. I'm just a servant. I'm not qualified for this. I'm not equipped for that. I don't even know where I would begin. I don't know where that would start. I don't know what people would say. Could I tell you what God told Joshua? No matter what excuses you are currently coming up with, could I say to you, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous in knowing the presence of God, that he is with you. Be strong and courageous in knowing the power of God, that he is mighty and sovereign and over all things. Nothing is a surprise for him. Be strong and courageous and have that hope we talked about in the promises of God, that his character remains steady and constant. Be strong and courageous in whatever he is leading you to. So what is that next step that you're afraid to take? What is that step of faith that is gonna require some courage? I don't know what it is for you, but if you'd allow me, I just wanna read off some possibilities. Maybe one of these resonates with you, maybe it doesn't. But where is God leading you? What is he leading you to do that you're still not sure about? That you're still lacking some of the courage? Maybe it's to just come down front. We say it every single Sunday. Our prayer team's down front. We'd love to pray with you and talk with you and help you. And maybe you are so afraid of what other people are gonna think when you share what you need to share or when you ask for prayer because of your current situation. Be strong and courageous. We invite you to come down and pray with our prayer team. Maybe today is the day you take a step of courage. Maybe it's surrendering your life to Jesus, that you're still functioning under the mentality that I've got to fix my life before I bring it to Jesus. No, we come to Jesus broken and surrendered and allow him to do the life-changing work in us. Maybe it's baptism. You love Jesus, you've surrendered your life to him, but going public just makes you a little nervous. Be strong and courageous and take the next step. Maybe for you, it's confessing that sin that you've been hiding and ashamed of. Maybe it's forgiving someone you've been refusing to forgive. Maybe it's asking for forgiveness from someone that you've hurt. Maybe it's having a difficult conversation that you've been avoiding. Maybe it's putting in the work and the effort to restore a broken relationship. Maybe it's showing up to celebrate recovery for the very first time. Maybe it's joining a Bible study group. Maybe it's serving on a volunteer team. Maybe it's signing up for Discovery Night to truly learn what your part is within the church and in the community. Maybe it's filling out a how are you really card that you tend to keep people at an arm's length because you don't want people to know what's really going on. Be strong and courageous. Be authentic. Open up to other people. Maybe it's to start tithing and trusting God truly with your finances. Maybe it's inviting that person to church that you think about every time you go to church. Maybe it's sharing your story with somebody who needs to hear it to be an encouragement. Maybe it's saying yes to a mission trip. We had a mission team come back from Guatemala not long ago. We're sending another team to the Dominican Republic. There's an interest meeting next Sunday afternoon. And you've got a whole lot of fears and whatabouts and what ifs. Be strong and courageous. Maybe it's not a mission trip to another country. Maybe God has put in the depths of your heart a desire to help other people that are walking through or have walked through a crisis or tragedy. We have a disaster relief team that is getting ready to head out to North Carolina to do some rebuild from the hurricanes from years ago still. And maybe you're afraid I can't take off work or what will happen if I miss that much time. Would you be strong and courageous? Maybe it's committing to pray as a family together regularly. Maybe it's waking up early to read God's word consistently and daily. Maybe it's praying for someone specifically and by name. Maybe it's stopping the compromise in an area of your life that you know God has been convicting you about. Maybe for you, it's leading your family spiritually instead of waiting for someone else to step in and do it. Maybe it's stepping into the leadership opportunity that God has placed right in front of you. You're just afraid to say yes. Maybe it's trusting God with a decision that you've been trying to control and figure out yourself. Maybe it's letting go of the comfort that's keeping you from obedience. I don't know what it is for you, but I know God is calling you. I know he's calling you, and I know you have your fears. So may we be strong and courageous. Courage says, I don't know how this is gonna work, but God does. So may we allow him to grow our faith and to develop our character, to be men and women that follow Jesus courageously and lead others with courage, no matter what. Here's how I want us to end today. With school starting up this next week, again, for me at least, it feels like a new season. There's a prayer that I pray often, Becky and I pray over our kids, that is out of Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and 11. I'm still gonna pray that over my kids, but today I wanna pray this over you. So I pray that you would receive this first, but maybe this becomes a prayer you pray over other people in your life as well. Here's the prayer. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live your life pure and blamelessly until the day of Christ's return. Here it is. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character that is produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. That is my prayer for you, that your love would grow more and more as you continue to get into his word and know him more and more. And the more you know him, the more you trust him. And the more you trust him, the more your faith grows. And the more your faith grows, the more he develops your character. And as your character develops, you have a strong hope that you are confident in, so that no matter what, you face it with courage. You lead with courage, and you follow God's word, will, and ways with courage. Let me pray for you. God, thank you so much for continuing to be at work within us, that you did the work for our salvation through Jesus Christ on the cross. But now you do a work in us. You grow our faith, you develop our character, you shape and form and mold us into who you desire us to be, that we would be more and more like your son, Jesus. So God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, would you continue to transform us, to change us, and to shape our character to be more like Jesus. May we have a heart of courage and strength, that as we continue to lead others and follow you, we will do so with courage, no matter what. In Jesus' name, amen.